Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Benjamin Franklin. So many dimensions to explore about one of America's most important citizens. PBS explores Franklin tonight and tomorrow night with Ken Burns leading the charge. Producer David Schmidt joins me next in the same-day internet radio exclusive. Desire Company Class is about to be America's new learning channel. We'll learn how next half hour from co-founder and chief executive Eric Scheinkopf. And Quill and Call Slow Horses, a spy dramedy, with Oscar winner Gary Oldman in charge of agents way down on the success scale. Director and executive producer James Hawes will emerge for us 1 hour from now from London. Also ahead, Roku gets an Amazon lifeline, Harrison Ford's new tube turn, our new classic trivia question, and guess what? April Fool on me. Yes, M-E. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. We're then on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, the iRadio Podcast Network, Spotify, Reason, and Verbal. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to all the good stuff whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Great to have you aboard this Monday afternoon in April for the program all about TV's current and future. 53 degrees at the top of the hour here in the Big Apple. We have a great 90 minutes worth of wonderful guests for you, and we invite you to be part of the program. Interact with them. How? Pick up the phone and dial in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. And don't forget, chat room is open for you as well. Simon Apple 04 by name is the chat room name, and you will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the promo is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions, and others will be live with you. David Schmidt from Benjamin Franklin, tonight and tomorrow on PBS, joins me here in New York after these news notes. Amazon Prime Video, an ad-supported spin-off IMDb TV, will continue its top attractions on Roku. Chalk that to a new multi-year Roku distribution agreement announced this morning. Amazon Prime and IMDb TV will, under this arrangement, continue playing on Roku devices and smart TV sets with Roku as the operating system. Ebony Studios is now in business. The new production outpost of the popular magazine-turned-multimedia brand will develop TV programming along with film and podcasts. The venture's leader is Ty Cameron, former head of distribution at LeBron James-founded organization Uninterrupted LLC. At Byron Allen's Black-owned media event last month, Ebony disclosed that an Ebony TV programming service was on track to premiere next year. It's time for Harrison Ford to co-star in a scripted TV series. That series is Shrinking, an Apple TV Plus undertaking announced last October from key talents behind the award-winning Ted Lasso. Ford will co-star opposite Jason Segel as Dr. Phil Rose, a practitioner of cognitive behavioral therapy. Segel's character, Jimmy, is a therapist, doesn't mince opinions with his patients. Now, quickies, life oddities will be the focus of new few series We Need to Talk About America, starting April 20th. 4 days later, Duff Goldman begins his latest Food Network effort, daytime half-hour Duff, Ace of Taste. And CBS had more than 8.9 million people tuned to its Grammy Awards presentation last night. Preliminary Nielsen data suggests that's more than 100,000 viewers above the all-time low-rated 2021 Grammy ceremony. And that is news notes for today. Now joining me here in New York, the producer with Ken Burns of PBS's Benjamin Franklin special, 2 hours tonight, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and 2 hours tomorrow night, David Schmidt. David, congratulations. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Simon. It's great to be here with you.
Thank you so much. It is a pleasure, and thank you for making the time a few hours before your PBS debut with this special. When PBS came out with the press release about this program, here's what you said in the release, and I quote, "Every American learns about Benjamin Franklin in grade school, but often it ends there." Why do you think so?
Why do I think that it stops there? Or
mm-hmm. Why does it stop there?
I don't know why it stops there. I think
we learn higher learning, learn more about Benjamin Franklin.
Yeah, I think that it's just an easy way to be superficial about it and say, "Here's the kite, here's the key, here's the $100 bill. I know enough. I don't need to know more." But those things might lead to a grade school understanding of who he was, but we can keep learning as we go. And I think I'm all into continuing education as we age. And I think for me, I'm in my mid-30s, and I got to spend 4 years learning about Benjamin Franklin, and every day is an illuminating thing about him that helps me understand my country better. Even after his death 230 years ago, I think he informs who we are now.
Of all the many sides of Benjamin Franklin, author, the creator of Port Richard's Almanac, major contributor to the Founding Father documents, inventor, mm-hmm. scientist, and as you pointed out, we will hear more in this special, abolitionist, and one of the first
yep.
in American society. What, A, impressed you the most about this man, and B, what do you hope that this special will impress people about when it comes to Franklin?
Mm-hmm. Well, what impresses me most, and what I think that I have looked to in his character to improve myself, is how devoted he was, how obsessed he was with self-improvement, and from the start, just being a better person at the end of every day. Now, he failed at that. I fail in that. That's just the truth. We all will. But just to have the desire to want to be better is something that he could do and something that we can do. He listed at one point early in his life 13 virtues, and I won't list them all here, but, you know, they're the normal ones, humility, order, industry, frugality, et cetera. The one not listed is what I think is most important, is that introspection and desire to improve. And I think he did that.
Mm-hmm. What led to the development of this 4-hour special? When did you and Ken Burns and the people around both of you decide, we're going to do this, we're going to make a commitment to really showcase this extraordinary citizen of not just America, but really the world?
Yeah, and he is totally a world citizen. I look forward to talking more about that soon. Ken had a dinner with Walter Isaacson, the great biographer who wrote, you know, the 3-inch thick volume of Benjamin Franklin biography that sold like gangbusters back at the start of this century. And he convinced Ken that, you know, look, yeah, he predates the photograph, he predates moving picture, but there's a story there that is quintessentially American. And if you're going to tell the stories of the United States, you're going to tell the story of America before the United States. This is a really great vessel and a great way to tell that story and to tell us who we are. So they talked about that, and Walter agreed to sit for an interview and to be an advisor on the film. And he and a number of other people whose faces you'll see in the film really helped us figure out how to tell this story the best way that we could.
Mm-hmm. Did it take long to figure out how you were going to tell the story?
You mean visually?
Visually and also thoughtfully.
Yeah, sure. Well, we're very lucky, and it comes from the space that Ken has carved out in this industry and with the aid of public television and the support that we get both from public television and from our donors. We are really lucky both to have the runtime on national television, but maybe most important, the production timeline. So like I said, I've been working on this for 4+ years. You know, it's a small crew that works on it for an extended period of time and really gets to know the subject. It's not what it can be in other outfits where it's a lot of people's minds on something for a short period of time. That might be most economical in some cases. For us, we find that we're going to get the best version of the story if we get to make the film and make the film and make the film again and again and again. I think we're on draft 15 right now, you know, something like that, where we've really honed the picture the way that we want it to be. So yeah, it does take a really long time, but that's by design. But also in order to, you know, the last film I worked on was on the Vietnam War, and there's no shortage of images that you could draw on to tell that story. It's one of the most photographed events in world history, and we could still be looking for photographs and moving picture from that war, even though it was released in 2017, if we had had the time and if we had wanted to. With Benjamin Franklin, we don't have that problem we don't have that luxury because he died before the invention of the photograph, as I said, but he was one of the most painted people in his own lifetime, possibly the most painted non-royal of the 18th century, and certainly among the most painted Americans of the 18th century. And yes, none of those images appear. He wasn't painted until he was already 40. So the first 40 years of his life, we had to draw on other things. But it turns out that he's also, because he's been so important to America through the generations, that every generation has depicted his image in a certain way. So we have Norman Rockwell in the film. We have Howard Pyle in the film. We use often an artist named Charles Terzak's woodcuts of Benjamin Franklin. And we just decided pretty early on that this can become not just the story of Benjamin Franklin through the visuals that he saw himself or that were of him from his own time, but of how Americans have come to see him through the generations. And then also we went out with our cameras and filmed at places we knew he had been or that places that looked like places that he had been. So we went to Independence Hall. We went to Bartram's Garden in Philadelphia. We went to Colonial Williamsburg, where I'm from. And we went other places in the East Coast. We also filmed at the Benjamin Franklin House in London, which is the only standing residence of his that survives. So we just kind of created what became a mixed media approach that you know is, I think, works. But it's not what we would have done if it were a story about somebody from the 20th century. It became, you know, limitations are going to inspire our art in a different way than we didn't have the tyranny of choice that we had on Vietnam. So the limitations really guided us and I think made something pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. And that cool work premieres tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific time on many PBS stations around the country. It is the long-awaited special Benjamin Franklin, 2 hours tonight, 2 hours tomorrow night at the same time. We're talking with producer David Smith, who worked with executive producer Ken Burns on the project, and he joins us here in Nueva York this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Abbott, I'm with you live from New York. Delighted you're with us. We're just getting started with this 90-minute edition of the program about TV's current and future, and we invite you to be part of the program. All it takes is a phone call, 646-652-2906. We use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. If you're a longtime fan of Nickelodeon, you may know that one of its longest-running shows, live-action shows, I should say, was The Brothers Garcia. Well, next week, HBO Max is presenting an updated version of that program, now known as The Garcias. And executive producer and original creator Jeff Valdez is part of it. We hope to have Jeff on this program, maybe this coming Thursday in a special half-hour edition. Stay tuned to our social media outreach on Facebook and Twitter for details. We learned that Jeff might be available on Thursday just about a half hour before he went on the air. Also, on Friday's program, we hope to have the host of the new CW comedy game, Would I Lie to You, that premieres this Saturday night. That's all coming up, hopefully, Thursday and Friday at this regular time, 3:30 Eastern Pacific, here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. David, how are the hours structured? What gets emphasized in hour one versus two, three, four?
Yep. So we divided it into two two-hour episodes. So the first 2 hours takes us from his birth in 1706 through the death of his wife at the end of 1774, just before he's going to come back to the United States, to America before it's the United States, but just on the eve of the American Revolution. The second episode takes us through the last 15 years of his life from 1775 to 1790. And may we all be so lucky to accomplish as much as he did in the last 15 years of our lives. It's pretty amazing that chapter two doesn't begin until he's almost 70. That's how it's divided for us.
And Franklin, by the way, or at least the voice of Franklin, is portrayed by Mandy Patinkin, popular star in so many things, such as Criminal Minds on CBS and so much more before. Why him as Franklin? What did his voice suggest would be great for that role?
To me, he'll always be Inigo Montoya, of course, first and foremost, from The Princess Bride. This was all Ken. Ken was watching Homeland with his daughter, who he says was too young at the time to be watching. I think she was 8 or so. And so he said that he was covering her eyes so she wouldn't see some of the stuff that was happening in it and just heard him and could hear, oh, that's Franklin. So we called him, and he agreed he'd do it. And we did it all over Zoom. We sent him, this was January of 2021, so we had to send him furniture, blankets, microphone stands, microphone itself, and some equipment. And he built himself basically a soundproof studio out of all of that. It almost looked like a pillow fort. I mean, it's just incredible what he was game to do for us. And then we sat down with him for 2 days, and he embodied the part in a magnificent way. And we're so thankful that he agreed to do it, and Ken was wise to choose him, that's for sure.
Who the other personalities of Franklin's time that you bring to life through voiceovers, and who does the voices?
Mm-hmm. So John Adams appears a number of times in our second episode, and we made the brave, bold, new decision to ask Paul Giamatti if he would do it, who has, of course, played John Adams before for television, for HBO. And I like to say that there may be a number of things I am not qualified to do, but the thing I am least qualified to do in this job is to direct Paul Giamatti as John Adams. I mean, come on. So he just basically came in. We gave him the sheet. He said, oh, I've done this before. Let's go. And he just knocked it out of the park. We also worked with Carolyn McCormick, the great Carolyn McCormick, who Hannah's worked with a number of times. She plays Benjamin Franklin's wife, Deborah. And then Josh Lucas was Ben Franklin's son, William Franklin. And that is just an incredible story, and Josh plays it so well. But it's an incredible story of they were as close as it gets before the American Revolution. They worked together to further the British Empire in North America. William Franklin was the only person with Ben Franklin for the key and the kite experiment. But the Revolution divided them, and William Franklin was a loyalist, was the royal governor of New Jersey, and Benjamin Franklin was one of the, you know, chief rebels. William Franklin was arrested, imprisoned for 4 years during the war, and Benjamin Franklin didn't lift a finger to stop it. And after the war, William wanted to reconcile, and Benjamin would not do it. And that's just an incredible story to me.
At any point, did you, Ken, your crew, look at ways that Franklin's been portrayed on television or in other media? For example, a lot of people remember, both from Broadway and from film, 1776, with Howard De Silva's portrayal of Benjamin Franklin opposite William Daniels, who played John Adams. And by the way, William Daniels, who later won a great fame on St. Elsewhere, then Boy Meets World, he is still alive.
Mm-hmm.
He just celebrated his birthday last week. Really amazing actor.
Yeah, well, William Daniels is as good as it gets. But we did not look to any of the past portrayals of Benjamin Franklin or of John Adams for that. Well, that's not true. We did hire John Adams, didn't we? We didn't look to the ways that Benjamin Franklin was portrayed in the past, and how we play the character now. I think that we wanted to. This is how we often work. We think we know a subject, but we accept that we probably don't know everything, and we just kind of start over from scratch. Just read everything that we can, and pretty quickly you realize you didn't know what you thought you knew. And what you thought you knew sometimes isn't true, and more often than not, it's just superficial. So like I mentioned earlier, you know the kite and the key, but what that kite and the key experiment actually accomplished, you know, the kite didn't have to be struck by lightning. I didn't understand that. But what it did was it was just a small part of Franklin's incredible contributions to the science of electricity. You know, he gave us the words electrical battery, positive, negative, conductor, charge. These are words we use every day. And in his time, he was so famous for his electricity and so accomplished, he won what was called the Copley Medal. Today, it would be the Nobel Prize. I mean, that's the kind of person we're talking about. He's also one of the founders of our country, and he's also one of the great writers of the 18th century. And it's just wild that the same person did all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Benjamin Franklin, which is narrated by Peter Coyote. I still remember that name from a lot of things, including E.T., which I'm amazed that, almost 40 years since E.T. was made by Steven Spielberg. One of my
it is 40 years, isn't it? It's this year.
Yep. That's right. This year, 1982. Wow. 40 years. Amazing. And still one of Steven Spielberg's greatest films ever. Should have won the Oscar Best Picture, in my opinion, but over Gandhi. That's just my opinion.
It's still remembered, so it turns out you can lose an Oscar and be one for the ages in any case.
Oh, absolutely, for sure. And Peter, by the way, has had a wonderful role over the years as a voiceover narrator for all sorts of documentaries, specials, other film and TV programming. So he's made a super second career for himself in that vein. Anyway, he is part of Benjamin Franklin, which premieres tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time on most PBS stations. Remember, when you check out PBS programming, you have to check for both the listings about where it is running in your area and when, because some PBS stations will run the program later at night, some will play it later in the week, and some will have a weekend replay of one or both episodes later in the week. So you have to keep that in mind when you check your local listings to the PBS station near you. And I also want to say, too, that this program on PBS is made possible in part by grants from Bank of America, the Pew Charitable Trust, the Corporate Public Broadcasting and PBS stations, and the Veteran Angel Society, among other organizations. David Schmidt is the producer of the program. He joins us live this half hour on Tomorrow Televised. Happy you're joining us as well. And if you have a question or comment on remaining minutes with David, give us a call, 646-652-2906. We use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And coming up at the top of the hour, our new classic trivia question. We'll give you the answer to the current question. And a brand new question, three prizes in play. They can all be yours if you're first with the correct answer. David, one of the points, actually two of the points that you make in this special is that Franklin never lost his ability to be curious about life, no matter what role he was playing in life at the time. And secondly, that there were a lot of contradictions in his life, too. Explain both of those things, his curiosity and his contradictions.
Yeah. Okay, first, I also want to say that you can find the film online at pbs.org/Ben Franklin. It will be free streaming for the next 3 weeks. And after that point, you can still go there, and they'll help you find out where you can watch it if it's not just straight from your TV. Franklin's curiosity knew no bounds. I think one of the people we interviewed for the film, H.W. Brand, says that because he only had 2 years of formal education, and he did, only 2 years of formal education, he never was taught what he didn't have to know, so he assumed he had to know everything. Now, I think that there's probably some truth to that, and still Franklin knew the value of education. He founded in Philadelphia the University of Pennsylvania and among other learned societies there and worked on a library and founded a school for black children of Philadelphia. So he was all about education, but that's and a formal education, but the lack of a formal education maybe gave him something. And somebody was this ingenious could just spend their whole life just trying to learn more. And he sees electrical sparks and he thinks, oh, maybe I can find a way to make something useful out of that science of electricity. And then he sees lightning and he says, huh, maybe that's the same thing as those sparks. And then he says, oh, well, if you can draw a charge off to metal from, you know, when you create static electricity by rubbing sheepskin or a carpet, maybe you can draw the lightning from the sky so it doesn't destroy all these churches. You know, previously they'd been ringing church bells in the biggest buildings in the city because they were trying to ward off this supernatural element of lightning. And, of course, that doesn't make any sense. This is a metal brass bell at the top of a tower. That's going to be the thing that's going to get targeted, actually. So there's like hundreds of bell ringers that die in the 18th century. And anyway, Franklin invents this lightning rod that's saving lives as we speak. So that's the kind of way his mind worked as far as curiosity goes. But it knew no bounds. It's not just in science. It's also in literature, and it's in charting the Gulf Stream, that he wondered how it was that ships made it faster from America to England than the way, other way around. And it turns out there's ocean currents, and he's the first to chart them. And then his contradictions, where to begin. This is one of the leading figures of the Enlightenment. And the theory behind the Enlightenment is that everything can be improved and that human beings may not be perfect, but they can be. There's such a thing as perfectibility and become more perfect, you know, that phrase that we see in the Constitution. And this is somebody who is so associated with logic and reason, and yet he enslaved people in the middle of his life. And that's a contradiction that we have to speak to. And here's another contradiction to that. At the end of his life, he becomes the president of the Pennsylvania Society for the Abolition of Slavery. How is it that the same person can be both of those things? Well, it's that people are complicated. And I think what's great about Franklin as a character is that he is not static. He's ever-changing. And that allows us to really get an incredibly thorough picture in the biography of one man of what the 18th century, particularly in America, was like. He wrote more than anybody, and a lot of his writing is preserved. As I mentioned, he's one of the people whose images is most widely available, and he traveled more than anybody. Plus his curiosity. I mean, there isn't anything he didn't write about. So he traveled. He crossed the ocean 8 times. He went north and south. from Philadelphia down to Virginia up to New Hampshire. He just knew the world better than people, than other people, and he could make connections that that just, I think, open the possibilities for us, even 250 years later, to see that world for what it was and to see how it informs the world that we live in now.
Benjamin Franklin, a long-awaited and finally happening two-part documentary special from Ken Burns and crew. It premieres tonight and tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, both nights on your local, most local PBS stations. Again, check your local listings for the PBS station area and when they are running it. Most of the stations will play it at the specific time. Others will play it later tonight and tomorrow. Others will play it later in the week. And in many cases, there will be a weekend repeat. So make sure you check your local listings on all of that information. You also go to pbs.org as well. And if you want to see a second run of it, also online, you can go to pbs.org/Ben Franklin. That's pbs.org/Ben Franklin. And once again, I want to remind you that the program features Mandy Patinkin with the voiceover role of Ben Franklin himself. Also involved Carol McCormick, Josh Lucas, Paul Giamatti, Liam Neeson, Peter Cody narrates. And once again, congratulations to all the folks who funded the special, Bank of America, the Pew Charitable Trust, the Corporate Public Broadcasting, Better Link Society, and many other foundations and institutions as well. Benjamin Franklin starts tonight, 8 p.m. Pacific time, over most PBS stations. David Schmidt, the producer of the program, thank you again for joining us before the premiere. Congratulations to you, Ken, everybody involved in making this. And hopefully by the end of the 4 hours tomorrow night, the American public is going to have a deeper and greater understanding of this extraordinary, extraordinary person.
That's the hope. Thank you so much, Simon.
You're very welcome, David. Take care. All the greatest.
All right. Bye.
David Schmidt, producer of Benjamin Franklin on PBS, joining us live from New York. More tomorrow will be televised coming away, but first some words from the fine folks at audible.com. Did you know that there are medical breakthroughs all over the place that could make a difference in your life or someone else's? Well, a lot of these incredible cutting-edge medical breakthroughs have now been put together in audio form and in book form by none other than Mr. Self-Help Coach USA, Tony Robbins. The book is called Life Force, and you can get it right now with a one-month trial to audible.com. Remember, audible.com is by far the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 250,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio, and all of our podcast affiliates, including our latest, Spotify, that joined us 1 week ago. If you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, that's audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audio book, 1 month for a trial, plus great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com, and important health and wellness information that could make a difference for you or someone you know. Remember, if you are an Amazon Prime customer already, greater luck. Two audiobooks for your trial, including one from the fast-growing catalog of Audible Originals. We're talking original audio productions, podcast series, best of Broadway off Broadway Regional Theater, great one-woman, one-man performances, and so much more. How about making today the day you discover how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world? Get a chance to listen to all the good stuff. Go to audibletrial.com/televised, and don't forget, it makes a great gift for you or someone you love. Coming up in our next half hour, we'll have our classic trivia question of the week. And after the top of the hour, we go live to England to hear James Hawes, the director, executive producer of the critically acclaimed Apple TV Plus hit with Gary Oldman, Slow Heroes. Slow Horses. And before that, as I said, classic trivia question of the week. And first, we will go live to Chicago, and we'll introduce you to somebody who just put on one of the latest smart TV distributed programming services around. You could call it America's New Learning Channel. It's called Desire Company Classes. Eric Steinkopf joins us live from the Windy City after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tuner.com. Together, reaching nearly 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Strange New World, the brand new Star Trek series that premieres next month on Paramount Plus. That's the subject tonight of Trek Talking. Trek Talking happens tonight, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 Pacific. Strange New World, the subject matter, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Don't forget, that's BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second 30 minutes of Tomorrow Be Televised. 9 edition coming away this Monday afternoon. 54 degrees at the bottom of the hour. Sign on with you live from New York. Very sort of cloudy, gray, but still very bright day. It's not raining, and that's good news. We're happy to have you aboard. You have a question or comment for our next guest ahead and our other guests coming up at the top of the hour. Give us a call. Here's the number, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, time at Apple 04. And once again, we want to welcome our second week Spotify listeners who joined us a week ago today. We appreciate you. Get involved in the program and tell your friends to do so too. The more, the merrier. Last week, a brand new service premiered through smart TV sets and smart TV devices. It's called Desire Company Classes, and it's a service where you can learn from a lot of experts, a lot of different subjects. And if you want to buy some of the products and services they demonstrate, you can do that through your television set. Joining us live in Chicago to talk about all of this and more is the co-founder and chief executive of Desire Company, Eric Scheinkopf. Eric, great to have you with us.
Thank you, Simon.
And there you are. Welcome.
Yes, thank you very much. Pleasure to be here. Appreciate it.
Eric, talk more about Desire Company Classes. What's it all about?
Sure. I mean, really what we do is education through entertainment. We use media entertainment to bring together the best of the in-store and online shopping experience. And we really do that in two ways. So one is we have a streaming channel and it features classes from experts. It's all shoppable. And then two, we have those experts provide information and reviews about the products, which really provides trust for consumers.
How long had you thought about developing a channel like this?
Oh, it's been a long time in the making. We've been working on technology for several years, but it wasn't until the beginning of the pandemic that we saw the opportunity to go so deep into classes. Really, we were working with a unique community. Our professionals, our experts, are everybody from Lady Gaga and Rihanna and Beyonce and Pink's teams. So they're makeup artists and physical therapists and trainers and hairstylists to NFL players and their trainers and everybody else in between. And we were just doing these product reviews, which were wonderful, and helping educate consumers about the products that they actually use backstage or while they're traveling. And then during the beginning of the pandemic, we realized all of these professionals are stuck at home for the first time in their life. So we created a platform and gave them the opportunity to start streaming and teaching their classes, and people loved it. So we started learning at that point and digging deeper, and it was only just last week that we actually got this channel off the ground and now streaming on many devices at home.
Mm-hmm. How do the classes work? When you sign up an expert to do a class, how many sessions do they do? How many video sessions do they do?
Sure. So all classes are between 10 and 20 minutes. They have multiple classes that they do teach, but we really wanted to keep this more bite-sized, practical, everyday, actionable information that people could use, you know, immediately. So they are shorter classes. That being said, if it's a yoga instructor, you know, they'll take you through that class, and if you see a move that you're not familiar with, you're able to scan a QR code that's on your television screen, and that will take you to how-tos from that class. So although it's one class, there are multiple segments that go into that class. There's typically about 15 how-tos, 15 products that will be used and reviewed, which is additional, you know, entertainment and education besides the class itself.
Mm-hmm. How do you arrange the topics? When you go to your smart set or your smart TV device, and by the way, I understand right now it's on Amazon Fire TV, it's on Apple TV, it's on Roku, other places as well. What does the viewer see that helps them go to the class they want to attend?
Sure. You could choose from – I'm sorry for noise in the background. I've got my baby at home. Newborn is deciding now is a good time to start yelling. But that being said, you are able to choose from your area of interest. So whether that's fitness or beauty, technology, home repair, food, travel, the culinary arts. So, you know, whatever your interest really is, you're able to see it right away. You're able to pick it. You're able to see the different experts that teach it. It's totally free, so you could sign up and explore whatever you want and enjoy those classes and get a taste for it. Again, it's not a big commitment. You're not spending hours or days watching these different classes. They're all bite-sized. You can watch it on the go. You can watch it at home. So it's just very easy to explore and engage with.
Yeah. Explain the QR code situation, because many of these smart TV products now have artificial intelligence built in that allow you to control the set with your voice or your voice remote. So when you see the QR code, do you speak to, back to the screen? Do you use your voice remote or your remote control? How do you work the QR code so that you go right to the how-tos or the additional information?
Yep, so you're right on. We are launching additional technical capabilities. At this point, it's a QR code. Just make it easy. Pull out your phone, your computer, your tablet. You just point your camera at it. No app or anything is needed. And it will immediately pull up the related how-tos, the related products, additional classes by that professional, related classes. So it's really an immersive three-dimensional experience, which, you know, really is the future of shopping. It's the future of entertainment, and it's bringing it all together.
And it shows up on your TV set, correct, or it shows up in your smartphone or both?
It shows up on your second device. So whether it's your tablet, the 87% of people when they're watching television these days, they have a second screen. So it is showing up on your second screen. The reason why we did that is because we don't want to interrupt the experience. So you're not losing your place on that class. It could be something that you're doing casually looking. You could pause it. You could watch a how-to. If it's a cooking, if it's a mixology lesson, you could pause it and then just easily have access to this other, you know, quick how-to and pick right back up where you left off rather than getting it all jumbled in one experience.
Mm-hmm. And ultimately, you'll allow the TV option. In other words, as we see more technology, more products have this technology. Plus, we're now seeing projects that may be coming up later this year, like NBC's Checkout, where you can order products and services of the television set. That the TV set, rather than just go to the smartphone, you can do it right to the TV set with your voice through your voice remote.
That's exactly right. And there's more technologies that get smoother every day, and we will be continuing to integrate those technologies and develop our own over time. But it's amazing how advanced all of this is getting. I mean, from the QVC that used to exist, which obviously still does, to watching and calling in, providing more fun, more entertainment, more connectivity, more interactivity. There's a lot of advancements in the field, which are wonderful to be able to leverage.
Eric Scheinkopf is our guest this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised, joining us live from Chicago. And he is the co-founder and chief executive of Desire Company Classes, which started last week on smart TV sets and smart TV devices all over the place. No question or comment for Eric? Make a call, 646-652-2906, or if you're shy about the phone, use the chat room. It's SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Coming up before the top of the hour, we have our classic trivia question of the week. We'll give you the answer to the question we posed the last 2 weeks, and we have a brand-new question for you. If you first predict the answer, you will win the new Nailed In Cookbook from Netflix, the 20th Anniversary Christmas with the Simon Apple Choir DVD. That's the special that was on last December on BYU TV and PBS with bonus material, and the 20th anniversary Blues Clues notepad courtesy of Nickelodeon. So stay tuned before the top of the hour. We'll give you the new question, and if you first correct answer, you will win. Eric, how did you put yourself in position to launch Desire in the first place? What was your desire behind Desire, if you will?
Yeah, so I had a company that was in a similar area, except we were just working with musicians, and we were the largest provider of music to Disney and Coca-Cola and McDonald's and HBO, and I sold part of that company to Coca-Cola. And in doing so, I started working integrated into the Coca-Cola system. And it was at the beginning of influencer marketing. And so my co-founder, she was the global director of brand PR and communications at Coke for 15 years. She did the first ever global influencer programs. And when I was working on those, we saw that it was just going to be a flawed industry. It's fun, which is cool. It's good content if you, you know, like your particular influencer, but it's a flawed industry because at this point, you know, an influencer will talk about anything that they're paid to talk about, anything that gets sent to them. You know, a lot of them, the majority of them will still just do it for free if you send them a free product without knowing much about it. And that, we felt, was not a good experience and it was not sustainable. So, you know, just as in my last company I created, it was the world's largest community of independent musicians, we saw that there was a huge opportunity with all of these professionals who weren't the A-list top celebrities who are out, you know, at the Grammys last night, but they're the hairstylists that are behind the Grammys, behind the professionals at the Grammys. They're the trainers, they're the musicians, they're, you know, what we call the actors, not the stars. And so we dug into that and started, you know, just bringing them on board, talking to them, see what they were interested in. And it, you know, it's been a journey, but, we got there and now we have this wonderful community and it keeps growing every day. And, we just opened up a film studio in Chicago, so we will be creating more and more content, which is really exciting.
I want to go back to that in a moment, but first, who are some of the notable people that are teaching these classes?
Sure. So it is, you know, like there was several of them at the Grammys last night. The hairstylist, so Vernon Francois, he has his own line, but we've been working with him since well before he launched his own line of hair products. We have a handful of NFL athletes. Everybody from, you know, David Moore and Cyril Grayson, who played a big role this year in the season this year, just across the board. Chef Charles Webb, who he actually has a television program where he travels the world, you know, cooking and learning about different cultures. So it's a large grouping of just these incredibly talented individuals. But, you know, again, they're not social media experts. They're not stars of, you know, movie stars or anything of that nature. So they are very interested in the high quality content that we produce and giving them a platform to share their knowledge. And it's working well because, you know, it's the first time that we're democratizing access to these people who are usually, you know, backstage access only. So it runs the gamut every day. I mean, we have, you know, all the stunt people from the Marvel movies and actors from Black Panther and all these wonderful people, but not the leading stars. And that's where we want to stay.
When you're sort of the new person or new channel on the block and you're dealing with these people, how do you enroll them in your vision of this service and empower them to give it a try?
They just have to see the content, and that's what's happening. That's the wonderful thing. This has been a very organic growth. We started working, the first pro that we ever filmed with was Lady Gaga's dance captain, Asiel Hardison, who I went to high school in Chicago with, and we just reconnected, and I told him my idea, and he said, sure, I'll give it a try. And he had such a great experience, he introduced us to Rihanna's dance captain, and they introduced us to Pink's dance captain, and they introduced us to all the, you know, everybody else on the team. And same thing with the NFL players. You know, we filmed with one, and they told all their teammates about it, and then they get traded. So it's not us having to pitch them necessarily. They're just really excited about having a platform where they get to share their hard-won knowledge. These are people who have been working at one thing the majority of their life, trying to be the best that they could possibly be. And therefore, they know they've tried every product under the sun. They've tried every technique imaginable. They've had the best trainers, and now they get to share that wisdom. So it's just a really nice win-win-win for everybody involved.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like the old and very iconic Fabergé Organics commercial. You know, I told someone about this, and they told someone, and so on, and so on, and so on, and so on. It seems that that's how you built up your client base.
It's very true, and it's the same thing now with clients. I mean, it's you know, it's working. So the cool thing is we have these classes, but then we are able to license out the content that the professionals are talking about. So if they're teaching a class and they use a product, you can watch the product review, and then now you'll see those product reviews on Best Buy and Ace Hardware and on Amazon.com, and there's integration in-store, online, but it's all organic. We're not being, we're not giving the pros the product and telling them to talk about it. We're asking them, what do they use? And then after the fact, we're licensing it to retailers, which is really great. And so the retailers are excited. They're talking about it. We're being integrated into their media networks. So it's just this three-dimensional best of all worlds that's coming together.
Mm-hmm. 1 week or so in, what's been the reaction from viewers? What are they saying about what you're doing?
It's great. It's been really exciting. And the truth of the matter is we haven't done a ton of marketing in a traditional respect. We launched this channel last week at Shop Talk in Las Vegas. So we announced it there. And since then, we've been getting just tons of downloads, tons of signups, and just great comments. You know, the fact that we're not asking for anything in return, we're not charging them for these classes. I think it's spreading a little faster because there's no reason not to take a look, and they're going to DesireCo classes. And as you said, it's on Roku, it's on Amazon Fire, it's on Apple TV, iOS, Android. So it's just getting a lot of pickup and it's getting shared. So the nice thing is it's not just the classes, but we see people going from the classes to the website to learn more about these products, the highest numbers that we've ever seen daily, you know, over the past, I'd say, 4 to 5 days. But we are brand new, so trying to get the word out there, and I appreciate you giving us the platform and opportunity to talk about it.
It's a pleasure. In a moment, we're going to ask whether some national advertisers might get involved, and we'll go more into this new studio that's being set up in Chicago and what it will do, maybe beyond what Desire Company Class is up to. We have got the head of this new service, Eric Shankoff, joining us live from Chicago this half hour on Smart Be Televised. Glad you're with us as well. Simon Abbott, I'm with you from the wonderful place known as New York, where it is now 54 degrees, coming toward the top of the hour. You have a question or comment, many minutes with Eric. Make a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. The possibility that we will be with you on Thursday for a half hour. If we do, joining us will be the former head of CTV, now known as Fuse Media. But way back when, he was also the creator of a long-running series on Nickelodeon called The Brothers Garcia. The Garcias are coming back, updated and more adult, and that's going to be happening next week on HBO Max. So there's a possibility that Jeff Valdez will join us. I've known him for years. He's a marvelous, marvelous human being. I think you'll enjoy hearing a lot from him about bringing the Garcias back this time on HBO Max starting next week. So stay tuned to our social media outreach on Facebook and Twitter to find out if he does come on Thursday or down the road this month. And on Friday, we hope to have the host, one of the producers behind the new CW comedy game show that premieres this Saturday, Would I Lie to You? That's coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Are you hearing from any national advertisers who like what you're doing and might want to contribute some content as well?
So we want to continue to be creative and take a different approach to it. So it's less about having a national advertiser sponsor, and it's more about finding ways that we could continue to bring, you know, education and fun to consumers. I think the way that we'll do that and explore that we've been talking to a couple national retailers about is through more of a live streaming events. So, you know, the key talking point at the conference last week about the retail industry in general is that it's getting overcrowded and it's getting very difficult for consumers to have fun shopping. And they just need to bring back fun. It used to be fun to go shopping, and now it's burdensome and time-consuming and confusing. So finding ways to do that is our goal right now, and we would be, of course, happy to partner with the right type of brands to bring that experience to consumers as long as it is something that's able to continue educating. I mean, you know, consumers, when they are educated, you buy the right product the first time. You have less returns. They understand what they're getting, and they're more happy with their purchases. So I think there's a lot of fun, creative ways to do that. The classes are great. We do not have sponsors for those classes at this time. So, you know, looking at live and live streaming is one of the next things that we'll venture into.
Mm-hmm. Is there any viewer feedback of this sort? Like, I love what you're doing. What you're presenting is terrific. And there's a subject that I would like to see or I would like to learn from. You don't have right now. And if you did put it on, I would be a ongoing viewer.
It is that's the top type of feedback that we get. So, you know, we are still early. We have thousands and thousands of videos from hundreds of pros, but we've only launched a handful. So we're, you know, and part of the reason is we want to get it right. We want to release at the right time. The second is also we don't want to make it over confusing. You know, part of when you sign on to Netflix, you spend more time looking for what you want to watch than watching many times. And we wanted to avoid that. That being said, we are getting a lot of feedback saying, I'd like, you know, this was like a 101 or the first episode, so to speak, and we'd like the continuation. Or, you know, this yoga stretching class was wonderful. I've got this particular problem, or, you know, what we hear a lot is I have sciatica. What can I do? What type of exercises and stretches can I do? So we give that feedback to our pros, and it's part of the reason why we built out this studio so that we continue to listen to the feedback and continue to provide. So that's the number one thing I'm interested in, is continuing to hear from consumers about what type of classes that they would like to see. We've done some great gardening classes, and now we're getting a bunch of questions about, can you do a class for if you only have a patio, or if you're only getting, you know, light at this part of the day, or if you live in this climate. So digging into more of the specifics is really exciting for us.
Mm-hmm. So you now have this new studio in Chicago. How are you going to use it as far as television goes? And do you see a role for it beyond Desire, this particular channel, Desire Company Classes? Do you see yourself using the studio as a jump-off point to do other kinds of programming?
So at this point, we really are focused on the classes and continuing to build out our library of content. That's how we are primarily using it. We're releasing one class a week. We have released one class a week every week for the last year. But we were doing that on our own website at thedesirecompany.com, and this is Desire Co. Classes. So we are now just really focusing more on that type of content to try to get it right. And that was the purpose of the studio. We just have, you know, we're getting more and more pros. We do shoot in L.A. We shoot in Atlanta. We shoot in Arizona. But Chicago is just a great resource. It's a great town, especially for, you know, film and the tax credits that the city is trying to incentivize more media companies to move to Chicago. It's been wonderful for us to be able to leverage something of that nature. Going into, you know, using it for other endeavors, not at this time, but, you know, we have a lot of creative people who come through the studio and they all have great ideas. So I'm sure at some point we'll be inspired to explore those.
Where do you see Desire Company in television being 5 years from now, a decade from now?
I think a totally immersive experience. I think there's, you know, the meta verse and everything of that is interesting. I don't think it's for everybody. I'm certainly not going to put on a headset every time I sit down, you know, especially with my family. So an alternative, another way to engage, but having it more immersive, that's where we want to go. We want it to be that it's much more interactive than it is today. It's not sitting back and watching, it's interacting. And I think there's been a lot of advancements in that world, but to bring together this educational aspect with the ability to dig in and shop those products, it's just a very exciting opportunity. a decade from now. I love thinking of, about where this should go, could go, might go, but we're still learning. So there's so, like, as I mentioned earlier, it was only the pandemic that we realized that the classes were such a big hit for consumers, and that we had this, you know, community of these professionals that people wanted to learn from and wanted access from, people that they trusted a little bit more. So we're still exploring, we're still evolving, but without question, it's an exciting time for media and the media landscape, you know, in general. So just, you know, very happy to be ahead of the curve and testing things out.
Desire Company Classes is now available on a wide variety of smart TV sets and smart TV devices like Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, Roku, and others still to come. For more details about the service online, here's where you go, www.desireco.classes, that's desireco.classes.com, www.desireco.classes.com. The service now playing on many smart TV sets and devices, with more to come. Eric Scheinkopf, the co-founder and chief executive of the service and the parent company, the Desire Company, from Chicago, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on the launch and hopefully the beginning of a great break and very expansive run.
Thank you, Simon. I appreciate it.
You're very, very welcome, Eric. Thanks for making the time. Have a great, great week in Chicago.
Thank you. Thank you. Take care. Bye.
You too. Eric Scheinkopf from the Desire Company and Desire Company Classes, joining us live from Chicago. Now time for our classic trivia question of the week. Unfortunately, nobody got our question that we presented over the last 2 weeks. So right now, nobody's getting our three prizes in play, and that's why we're going to offer them again when we give you our next question coming up in a few moments. But let's give you the answer to the question we had the last 2 weeks. Name the 1960s ABC anthology series hosted by Fred Astaire. The answer? Alcoa Premiere. We also have taken Premiere. We also have taken the syndicated title, Fred Astaire's Premiere Theater. But the answer, for the most part, that people know, is Alcoa Premiere. It was a very good show for the 2 years it was on. Won a bunch of Emmy nominations and a couple of Emmy awards. And Fred Astaire was terrific. He also has appeared in at least one or two of them, including one you can see, joined by Elizabeth Montgomery on YouTube, called Mr. Lucifer. Again, the answer, Alcoa Premiere, was the 1960s anthology drama hosted by Fred Astaire. So now here's our new question. Again, if you're first with the correct answer, you will win the new Nailed It cookbook, a great family cookbook from the folks at Netflix, plus the 20th anniversary Blue's Clues notepad from Nickelodeon, and the 20 Years of Christmas with the Tabernacle Choir DVD. That's the expanded version of the special that ran last December on BYU TV and PBS. Here's the question. What 1970s television series had not one, two Academy Award-winning actors play the same role? What 1970s television series had two Academy Award-winning actors play the same role? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to include your name and where you're emailing from. If you're first to get the answer, you will win. One more time, here is that question. What 1970s television series had two Academy Award-winning actors play the same role? You know the answer? Get that email going, simonapple04@yahoo.com. If you're first with the correct answer, you win. Don't forget, include your name and your mailing address, so if you win, prizes get to you as soon as possible. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning, first thing on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. Remember, in order to win, all you got to do is play in. It's so simple as that. So do so, and all the very best. Good luck to all. This is Tomorrow Be Televised. We are the program All About the Tube, and we hope you'll be joined in a couple of minutes by James Hawes, the director and executive producer of the critically acclaimed new Apple TV Plus spy saga, Slow Horses, starring Oscar winner Gary Oldman. Once again, we hope to be on the air Friday. Perhaps if we do, we'll have Jeff Valdez. He is the executive producer and creator of the new updated version of The Brothers Garcia hit on Nickelodeon, The Garcias. It is running starting next week, all new episodes on HBO Max. And coming up on Friday, we expect to have the host or one of the executive producers of the new CW comedy game show, Would I Lie to You? That's hopefully both tomorrow, not tomorrow, Thursday and Friday, 3 from Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. When we come back, James Hawes from Slow Horses, live from England. And guess what? I committed an April Fool's faux pas. Boy, was I an April Fool. I'll explain why after we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com, together reaching nearly 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Tune in tomorrow morning for Kings in the Morning. Jay, King, and crew will keep you entertained. And goodness knows what kind of April Fool or post-April Fool hijinks he and his gang were involved in. But I promise you, it'll all be entertaining. Kings in the Morning, tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget, Best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our final 30 minutes of Tomorrow Be Televised. Tom and I'm with you from New Web, New York, where it is 53 degrees at the top of the hour, getting a little more sunny, a little less cloudy here in the Big Apple. Happy to have you aboard on this April Monday, the 4th, first Monday of the month. And this is, of course, the promo about TV's current and future. Welcome those of you just joining us at the top of the hour. And again, we want to welcome those of you that joined us over the last week on Spotify, our newest podcast affiliate. We have a great guest we expect coming your way in the next few minutes. And if you have a question or comment for that guest, well, all you got to do is pick up the phone and give a call. That's how you interact. And all you got to do is use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You'll catch us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn Radio. We've got our chat room going, too, if you're shy about the phone. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you'll find it at our long-running homepage. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the promo is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio speaker tune screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. As I mentioned, we hope to be joined in the next few moments by James Hawes. He is the director and executive producer of another critically acclaimed series that began on Apple TV Plus this past Friday, Slow Horses. You might call it a spy dramedy, as I did in the opening tag. Why? Because it deals with Omen, the Oscar winner, playing a British intelligence agent who happens to try, like the Dirty Dozen Lee Marvin in that film, to have a bunch of ragtag spies who are sort of on their last legs to get back in shape for some very important assignments. There's a lot of comedy in it. There's also a lot of drama in it, and that's why we call it a spy dramedy. And it appears to be the latest hit show from Apple TV Plus, which this year continues its incredible string of great hits. In recent weeks, we've had Severance with Ben Stiller. Last week, we had Pachenko, the critically acclaimed drama that's done in multi-language, getting tremendous reviews. Some people think it might be a possible drama nominee for the Emmy Award and maybe a possible Peabody Award nominee next year. And now Slow Horses with Gary Oldman, the Oscar winner from several years ago, played Winston Churchill in that movie. So as soon as we hear from James Hawes, the director and executive producer, he is joining us live from England, I believe London. We will bring him to you. While we wait for James, I have a April Fool's confession to make. Yes, yours truly was an April Fool. Didn't mean to be. I'm not making anybody wrong here. Nobody was involved. It was yours truly, totally, and I take full responsibility for it. And how was I an April Fool this past Friday? I said throughout Friday's episode that this past Friday night was the first night of Passover, the Jewish festival of freedom and life. Well, I got it misconstrued, if you will, with somehow with the first night of Ramadan, which is happening, by the way, as we speak, and is a very important holiday as well for people who celebrate it. So I got the holidays mixed up. As it turns out, the first night of Passover is on Good Friday night, the Ides of April, April 15th. No fooling, that's when it happens. It's a week from Friday, and it's one of the few times you will find Passover, which usually starts between mid-March and mid-April, exactly on Good Friday. So, again, that's yours truly's fault. I totally apologize for it. Nobody's being made wrong here. Nobody got into this, didn't get bad advice or anything like that. It's all on me. And I deeply apologize, and I'm moving on from there. And I hope that when Passover happens, to those of our Jewish listeners, you do celebrate it to the max. It's a wonderful festival that celebrates freedom, that celebrates the human spirit, and so much more. And I hope that if you do celebrate Passover a week from Friday, on Good Friday, that you do it with your family very, very much. I will be doing it with members of my family the Saturday after, not the first night, but during the first day. I'm looking forward to that very much. It'll be a first time since the pandemic, over the first time in 3 years, and I know it'll be really, really amazing. So, again, it's on me, and it will never happen again. I'm committed to that. And one thing I did say that I will double back on Friday is that we do send our thoughts and prayers to all the Jewish people in the Ukraine who are dealing with that incredibly horrible conflict out there, whether in Ukraine or they're refugees on their way out in Poland or the places. We have thoughts and prayers coming your way, and please hang in there and keep the thoughts and prayers coming. And if you can, make a contribution to relief agencies that are working with not only the Jewish people in the Ukraine, but also all of Ukraine, please do so. Give what you can. It all works, and it all makes a big difference for the people there who are struggling mightily. And their spirit, their incredible will is a sight for all of us to behold. Really, really, really. So once again, our thoughts and prayers to everybody in Ukraine, including the Jewish people there or who are fleeing as we speak. And we wish them all the greatest and nothing but. All right. We are still waiting for James Hawes, the director and executive producer of Slow Horses, the new Apple TV Plus spy dramedy starring Gary Oldman, the Oscar winner from several years ago, played Winston Churchill in a very memorable movie. And as soon as we see James on the line, we will bring him to you. In the meantime, I want to remind those of you that may be tuning in for the first time that we have been on the air now for nearly 15 years. We marked that anniversary in August, first Monday of that month. And this is a show about the world of TV, where it's at and where it's going. And we love to have you with us, and we'd love to have you involved to interact with our guests. So when you hear our guests, and if the spirit moves you, make a call, interact, ask questions, give us feedback. Just use our phone number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Number good anywhere your catch is across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. And don't forget, you can always use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it always at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So we say often, use the phone or the room, whatever works best for you, and either way, we get you interacting with our program. And, of course, once again, you can connect others at any time when the program is on by using Facebook Timeline. It's on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. And if you just came in late, I want to let you know there's a possibility that we may have a half-hour special edition of the program this Thursday. We hope to have confirmation once we get off the air to have Jeff Valdez. He is the head of CTV, the former head of CTV, the Spanish or the Latino-owned television network, and then it became Nuevo TV. It was a groundbreaker, and when it was Nuevo TV, Jennifer Lopez was an investor in it, contributed programming as well. Now it's known as Fuse or Fuse Media, which is doing all sorts of things in television, both linear on cable and also smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Jeff is working on a brand new version, an updated version of his long-running Nickelodeon hit, The Brothers Garcia. It's called The Garcias. You know, what would the Garcias be growing up from kids to adulthood? That's what the promo is all about. It premieres, I believe, on April 14th on HBO Max, and we are trying to get Jeff on this upcoming Thursday. If we do, we'll let you know on social media, Facebook specifically and Twitter. And we will be on the air Friday, and we expect to have on the host or one of the executive producers of the new CW comedy game show that premieres this Saturday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. Would I Lie to You? It's based on an international format, and I've seen some clips of it. Show seems like a lot of fun. And as I said, we hope to have you as a host or host and executive producer. That's coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And when it comes to next week, looks like we will hopefully have a triple header week. Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week. We will not be on Good Friday. So it'll be Monday, Wednesday, Thursday if we go triple header. We'll know for sure on Friday's episode. All right, we're going to give James Hawes another couple of minutes to get on the air. And if not, we will wrap things up, and we'll invite James to come on our show Friday. So that's the deal. And, you know, if there's a technical breakdown, whatever, we will deal with that breakdown powerfully, and we'll invite James to come on the show this Friday at our time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. For those of you, by the way, who missed our news notes, we do want to let you know, if you were watching the Grammy Awards last night on CBS, that more than 8.9 million people tuned into the Grammy Award presentation. That's according to preliminary Nielsen data. And there's a suggestion that there were 100,000 more viewers this year than the all-time low-rated Grammys last spring. So that's the situation with CBS. By the way, CBS is saying that when all is said and done, they will have more than 9 million viewers that watch on Sunday night. Incidentally, congratulations to South Carolina for winning the NCAA Women's Tournament in college basketball last night on ESPN. They did a number on Connecticut, an amazing game. And over the weekend, if you miss North Carolina and Duke on TBS or TNT Saturday night in the NCAA Men's Basketball Final Four, you missed one of the all-time great games men or women's ever played. Both teams came to play. They both played their guts out. Great coaching by both Coach K for Duke, Hubert Davis for North Carolina. It was an incredible game from start to finish. And congratulations also for a wonderful call by Jim Nance, Bill Raftery, and Grant Hill on TBS and TNT. And remember, the final game, championship game, is on tonight starting at 9 p.m. Pacific time on TBS. It may be simulcast on TNT. And that'll be, again, from New Orleans, North Carolina versus Kansas. And I got to ask, what are the odds that the Carolinas, both Carolinas, would win an NCAA men's or women's college basketball tournament championship in the same year? What are the odds? I don't know. But boy, oh boy, they got to be in the stratosphere. So good luck to both teams, North Carolina and Kansas, tonight. Again, the game is on 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific time on TBS, maybe simulcast on TNT, which was the case, by the way, Saturday with the Final Four. And next year it goes back, both the Final Four and the championship game go back that Saturday and Monday night when it gets scheduled in April on CBS. It's under the college basketball contract they have where the games alternate, the Final Four games alternate every year between CBS and WarnerMedia, TBS, and TNT. And again, congratulations to South Carolina for a marvelous win with their team. And just amazing, amazing. Dawn Staley, the coach. It's the second NCAA Women's Tournament win. Marvelous coaching. Great, great game by South Carolina. And kudos to the University of Connecticut, the Huskies, for a terrific season. I think it was 30-6 was the final, including the game last night. Gino Rieta, still one of the most sensational coaches in any sport. And he continues to educate, empower, inspire marvelous women basketball players at his school to go on to great success in WNBA. All right, it looks like James Hawes, the executive producer and director of Slow Horse on Apple TV Plus, will not be with us today. We'll find out what happened, and we will have James on a future episode, hopefully as early as this Friday. In the meantime, before we leave you, let's give you one last shot at our classic trivia question. It's our brand-new question that we introduced earlier today. What 1970s television series had two Academy Award-winning actors play the same role? What 1970s television series had two Academy Award-winning actors play the same role? If you know the answer, email me at simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. First with the direct answer, you win. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon. TWBT. Remember, the only way to win is to get in. So do so, and all the very best. I want to thank all of our guests for being with us today. It was a wonderful less than 90 minutes, as it turned out. And I thank all of you for tuning in. And once again, I want to welcome for the second week all of you tuning in on Spotify. Thank you for making us a part of your Spotify listening, if you catch that wonderful podcast organization. And we hope you make us a regular habit live as well. Once again, we may be on the air for a special half hour on Thursday. If we do, we'll have Jeff Valdez, the former owner of CTV and the creator of the long-running Nickelodeon comedy The Brothers Garcia, which is now coming back in adult form as The Garcias next week on HBO Max. And then on Friday, among our guests, we hope to have the hosts and or executive producers of the new CW comedy game show premiering this Saturday night, Would I Lie to You? If you came in late on today's episode and you want to catch up on episodes you missed, and we've had some dandies so far this year, why don't you go to our homepage and listen as long as you like. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And check out our podcasts. They're available 24/7 at the IR Radio Podcast Network, at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, also TuneIn.com. They have a wonderful way of showcasing our podcasts on that very site. That's TuneIn.com, as well as again, the iRadio Podcast Network, Verbal, Reason, other places as well, including iTunes. And, yes, we're on Apple TV. And if you get Amazon Music, That's also available on Vizio Smart TV sets. So you can go to your Vizio Smart set, go to Amazon Music, look us up, and we are there. Love to hear what you thought about today's program. And what are your general thoughts about the world of television, where it's at and where it's going? Incidentally, I heard yesterday from the writers of a new book that just came out called Binge Time. It is about where we're at in television. We hope to have the authors of that new book, Don Chmielewski, and from Deadline Hollywood Daily, I've known him for some years, Dave Hayes. We hope to have both of them on the program before the month is out. And we also hope to have their book, Binge Times, as a classic trivia prize so you can read it for yourself. So stay tuned for more information about that. So again, love to hear from you, your thoughts about television, your thoughts about our guests, past and current. So why not email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And you can also use that, as I said, not only for our classic trivia question of the week, but also for our very popular ongoing feature, A Show to Know. Is there a TV series you like that doesn't get enough attention? We'll give it the attention. We just got to know what show to talk about. And that's where you come in. So when you email, give us the information about the program. If we use your suggestion on the air, you, that's right, you, get the credit. So once again, it's simonapple04@yahoo.com. And you can always reach me 24/7 on Facebook, on LinkedIn, and on Twitter. Facebook and LinkedIn at Simon Applebaum. Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. You also check out recent episodes of our program at Media Village, the media leadership website that I write columns for on a regular basis. That's www.mediavillage.com. And when you listen to our program, check out other podcasts and video shows on that site, plus great columns from the likes of Ed Martin, Janet Filson, Juan Ayala, Jack Myers, so many great people following the world of television and other media as well. It's www.mediavillage.com, a great website to check out 24/7. Remember, when we hear back from you, you hear back from us within 24 hours. That's our commitment to you. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants. They are not, say, those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Toews, BTR's general manager. Jay Sonnenberg is head of content. Website service provided by On Podium, the Internet's new podcast outpost. For details, go to onpodium.com. Guitarist Bakus is our web coordinator. Tomorrow Be Televised is brought to you by Audible.com, the audio marketplace of Amazon.com. Don't forget, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. To start listening to all the good stuff, go to audibletrial.com/televised. Makes a great gift for you or someone you love. But Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your Monday. We'll be back either Thursday or Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, Tuner Radio, and all of our podcast destinations. Whatever you're doing between now and our next program, we hope you make it safe and you make it great. If you haven't been vaccinated, please go to your doctor, check up on your medical situation, find out about all the options available to you, including the new pills from Pfizer and Merck that are available at pharmacies all over the country. You can get them without a prescription at no charge. And then make a great choice, your choice. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.